It's been 30 years since scientists discovered HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. At the height of the American AIDS epidemic in the 1980s and early 1990s, an HIV-positive diagnosis was essentially a death sentence. Today, advances in treatment and care have greatly improved outcomes for people living with HIV, but the pandemic is far from over, and we still have around 800 new infections every year in Michigan alone. One of the goals of this year's World AIDS Day, which is today, is to create an AIDS-free generation. Joining us to talk about how we can achieve that goal is local journalist and HIV activist Todd Haywood. Welcome back, Todd.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us, Karen Krzyzanowski, manager of HIV and STD prevention at the Michigan Department of Community Health. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
Let's start with some numbers, Karen, about how many people are living with HIV here in Michigan.
Here in Michigan, we have just under 20,000 people living with HIV. We know that a little over 16,000 are known. They've been diagnosed. And we also estimate another roughly 4,000 that are positive but have not yet been diagnosed.
What about Ingham County?
In Ingham County, we have about 620 people currently living with HIV.
And how have those numbers changed over time?
Over time, the numbers of people living with HIV have grown. Unfortunately, we still have new infection, and this is one of the big goals for World AIDS Day and for HIV prevention programs, is to prevent new infections from occurring. Unfortunately, over the last 6 to 8 years, that has sort of flattened out. We see about 800 new infections in the state each year. The positive thing that we have going for us is with the highly active antiretroviral therapy that's available today, people are living longer, high-quality lives. And so we're not experiencing the high numbers of deaths that we experienced in the early part of the epidemic.
Todd Haywood, who is at the highest risk for contracting HIV?
In the United States, it's men who have sex with men. That has been since the beginning of the epidemic. There's a lot of reasons for that, socially, culturally, economically, that are driving that factor. And in particular, it's Black men who have sex with men that are really being impacted with this epidemic today.
Karen, why are these demographics at a heightened risk? Can you expand on that at all? Is it an issue of poverty or of education or what?
Well, you've hit it right on the head, Mark. The social determinants of health play a large role in this epidemic. And people who are socio and economically disadvantaged tend to be at higher risks. People with lower levels of education tend to be at higher risk. People that don't have access to high quality health care also are at higher risk. And so Todd is correct. It's largely African American men who have sex with men, and particularly young men. And that's where our new incidence is occurring, and those usually between the ages of 18 to 29. 18 to 24 is where we are really targeting our efforts to try and get them educated and tested and into care.
We're discussing HIV/AIDS here on World AIDS Day with our guests, Karen Krzyzanowski, manager of HIV and STD prevention at the Michigan Department of Community Health. Also with us, local HIV activist and journalist Todd Haywood. Todd, living with HIV now is obviously a very different experience than before the antiretroviral drugs and other treatments became
right.
available. What kind of strides have been made when it comes to the treatment of people with HIV?
Well, you know, the antiretroviral treatment and regimes that have proved so successful and created what's called the Lazarus syndrome, back in 1995, 96, have gotten much easier to take. Back then it was, 14, 15, 20 pills a day. Today we've gotten it down to one pill a day. So it's easier to manage. They're more effective. There's less side effects. And I think one of the other things that's really important to note as well is that we now know that a person who is successful on their antiretroviral treatment and suppresses their viral load is exceedingly unlikely to transmit their infection, which is why we're pushing so hard to get people into treatment and into care. It's because that helps prevent that transmission.
Despite all these advances, I imagine that receiving an HIV diagnosis is still pretty traumatic. You were diagnosed in 2007. What was your reaction when your doctor told you you were HIV positive?
Sure. I had a trauma response, actually, and I, like 60% of people diagnosed with HIV in the United States, went on to be diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, which is triggered by that diagnosis of the HIV. 60% of people living with HIV will have that diagnosis within 6 months of their HIV
diagnosis.
I'm
not sure how well known that is. I mean, people know about PTSD, people know about HIV/AIDS, but they tend not to link the two together, it would appear.
No, they usually don't. And the diagnosis is emotionally overwhelming, because you suddenly are in a completely different social construct. There's now legal expectations that are placed upon you. There's this chronic manageable health disease, but when you're first diagnosed, you may not know how manageable it is. There's also, you know, the whole issue of how did I get infected and how do I have that conversation with partners? And so there's so many things that happen as part of that diagnosis that it's traumatic.
How were you able to move past that initial state of shock?
I was very lucky to have fantastic physicians that recognized immediately what was going on and helped me get in on antidepressants, get into some talk therapy, and working with the Lansing Area AIDS Network, I was able to also connect with some other resources to be able to sort of work through that process.
Karen, tell us about the state's role in HIV prevention and treatment.
Mm-hmm. The state public health department, the Department of Community Health, works with our system of local health departments, including Ingham County Health Department. And our role is really threefold. It's assessment, assurance, and policy development. And so the State Health Department does manage a disease surveillance system for all hazardous communicable diseases, including HIV. And we are identifying where the new infections occur, where the high-risk behaviors and groups are, and identifying how to target interventions. Assurance, we're working to expand access to high quality, affordable, accessible health care. And policy development, we are working with the community, working with many stakeholders, persons living with HIV, community-based organizations and AIDS service organizations like the Lansing Area AIDS Network, to look at the conditions that can enable people who are at high risk of HIV or who are already infected to protect their health, to care for, get the proper care that they need.
Where does the state get its funding for this work?
About half of the funding comes from the federal government. HIV care funds come from the Ryan White Care Act. We also get funds, the program I manage, which is STD and HIV prevention, is funded partially from the Centers for Disease Control through an HIV prevention cooperative agreement. The other half of our funds come from the Michigan Health Initiative and through state tax dollars.
Do you think that more resources are needed to effectively address HIV/AIDS in Michigan?
Yes, I think there are. I mean, this is a major, major worldwide pandemic. It continues to be an epidemic here in the state. And I do think that the World AIDS Day goal of achieving the first HIV-free generation is achievable. Mm-hmm. And I think it's achievable within the next 10 years. But it's going to take a concerted effort of research, of clinical trials and training, of a massive education campaign, of testing, early identification of the disease, and then getting people into care and getting the treatment they need. So yes, I think more resources are needed to fight this epidemic.
Todd, you're nodding your head. Are you generally encouraged where we are right now, though, or discouraged?
I'm actually encouraged at where we could be. I think we have all the tools here right now to honestly end the HIV epidemic in the next decade. I absolutely am convinced of that. And by those tools, I mean not only identifying people living with HIV and getting them into treatment and care, but also with the advent of tools like pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is a antiretroviral drug taken daily. It's proven to be at least 92% effective in preventing someone who is negative from getting infected with HIV. We need to scale up access to that. I'm hearing from the community, I'm hearing feedback from men who have sex with men in particular, that physicians won't write them scripts, that they're being judged, they're being called sluts for choosing to use this pill. And yet, this is a key tool in preventing people from getting infected. So I think we need to find ways to scale up PrEP as well as treatment in the state.
It's World AIDS Day. One of the goals of this year's World AIDS Day is to create an AIDS-free generation. Talking with us about that, HIV activist and journalist Todd Haywood of Lansing and Karen Krasinowski, manager of HIV and STD prevention at the Michigan Department of Community Health. Todd, are people more willing to disclose their HIV status now than they would have been a decade ago?
No. And actually, I think we see more reticence for disclosure in large part because of the criminalization of people living with HIV in the state of Michigan. Right now in Michigan, there is only one disease that carries a felony imprisonment statute to it, and that's HIV. The law has actually been condemned by the UN Commission on HIV and the law. It's the Department of Justice came out this summer and said that such laws didn't work and needed to be repealed and needed to address intent and not address the idea that just because of disclosure you're somehow going to stop something. And those laws are being, based on some of the statistical information that we're seeing, are being used to specifically target straight black men. Even though they're the lowest risk in terms of infection and transmission, they're the ones that are being prosecuted the most and sent to prison. So there's some racial issues there.
Interesting. We have been talking about the fight against HIV/AIDS in the Lansing area with Todd Haywood, HIV activist and journalist, also Karen Krasinowski. Thanks to you, Karen. Karen is manager of HIV/STD prevention at the Michigan Department of Community Health. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you.